Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty on a Thursday morning. This week flying by, Chiefs Raiders 325. You can hear all of that here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City football.
Yeah.
Chiefs football.
There you go, baby. Come out and see me today from 11 to 1. I'll be at the Hy-Vee at 119th Street in Olathe. We got steak dinner day, Dusty. $10 steak. Get your $10 steak dinner. You get an 8-ounce filet or a strip. You get the potatoes. You get the vegetable as well. So we'll be out there from 11 to 1. So come out and say hi. We'll have some 96.5 The Fan swag to give away today as well. So you come out, you get some free stuff, and you can load up on that steak day at Hy-Vee.
The little footballs?
Yeah.
Those are fun to throw in your house.
They're also fun to throw at people as they're walking by, and they say, hit me, and you throw it to them, and then they drop it, and you're like, oh, man.
Thanks. Ah, Kadarius Tony.
DeAndre Hopkins ain't dropping that little football when I throw it to him.
No way.
Nice catch, Sky. DeAndre Hopkins' family in their car, I swear to God.
How cool was that video that surfaced yesterday,
right? I swear to God, that's the video and audio of DeAndre Hopkins, his wife, daughter, and him in the car, and they're all dancing how I was just dancing on the camera.
The thing about that was Sunday. That was Sunday after the game, right?
Come on, he knew.
Of course he knew.
He caught one pass for negative 2 yards and then
out of the game.
Yep.
Out of the game.
He's done.
On Sunday. Yes.
Because I was listening to Cody and Gold on the way home, and they had one of Mac's buddies from Tennessee. I forget who it was, but
Tennessee
Will,
Tom.
Will Bowling on. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
They had Will.
And he made a really good point about DeAndre Hopkins in that game against Buffalo, right? Yeah, Buffalo.
Yeah, Buffalo.
And he was like, and I thought he made a good point because DeAndre Hopkins suffered the knee injury in training camp, missed like an entire month. And then it was clear and evident that they were moving on from him. They went out and got Calvin Ridley, and they incorporated Calvin Ridley as the number one. And DeAndre Hopkins was kind of like left to the side. Like, imagine if you missed a month of radio. I'm just giving you an analogy. We would never do this because we're not a-holes. But you missed a month of radio, and Mac and I just completely took all the benchmarks that we already do and just got rid of them and created our new ones. And then you came back a month later, you're like, all right, we're doing Smash or Pass. Like, actually, we don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
And then you'd be like, okay.
Yeah, and you sit over there now.
And then Friday, you'd be like, yeah. And then Friday, you'd be like, all right, Richard of the Week. Actually, we don't do that anymore either. You'd be like, well, I guess you don't need me.
Right.
And that's kind of what happened with DeAndre Hopkins. And they were reassuring me and everyone listening, I think, that it's not a knee issue. DeAndre Hopkins was just like, bruh, like, I don't want to be here no more.
No, it's a Devontae Adams issue.
And I'm not going to get my knee injured or risk injury. And he had one catch and he got 2 yards, was not on the same page as Will Levis.
Who is?
And if he was smart, like Will Levis, first game last year was against Atlanta, and DeAndre Hopkins had 138 yards and 3 touchdowns. On like 5 catches.
Yeah, Will Levis was great that day.
Because he was throwing to DeAndre Hopkins.
Well, you got to throw to your stars, right?
They, for some reason, decided to completely revamp it. Oh, he's hurt. He's going to miss some time. All right, let's move. Let's go on to Calvin Ridley. Which is fine. You paid him a lot of money. But maybe, like, keep the vet, future Hall of Famer, maybe, on the same page as everybody else so when he comes back. So, to me, this was I'm just going to wait it out and see until I can get moved. I don't think the knee injury was ever anything else. And then Sunday when you see this video surface of him and his wife and his daughter in the car singing to Taylor Swift, like the reason why they're doing that is because he told his family, I'm going to Kansas City. And we know that Kansas City is known for Mahomes, Andy Reid, winning, Kelsey, Swift.
You didn't even name barbecue yet. Wow, how about that? We're through five items that Kansas City's known for. You didn't even name the barbecue.
Referencing the team.
Yeah. Oh.
And so when he says that, I guarantee you his daughter goes, so that's where Taylor Swift's at. And then he's jamming 22.
The music. Yeah.
And then everybody's happy.
Right.
And now he comes to Kansas City. So, like, I don't think what he did in Tennessee will reflect of what he's going to do here.
Oh, God, no.
Now, I'm not here to flip my opinion on what he's going to do. I still think he's a guy that's 5 to 6 catches a game for 60 to 70 yards and a touchdown threat. But look, I don't think the knee's an issue.
No, the knee I don't think is an issue either. Otherwise, the trade would not have happened. And I've been reassured by enough people over the last 24 hours that the knee isn't an issue. It really is a Devontae Adams type of situation where you reach a certain point with your team or with your organization, or maybe you're doing, like the new thing these days in sport, not sports, but the world in general is called like silent quitting, I think is what they call it, where people
quiet
just
quitting.
Quiet quitting, right? Where they just stop showing up or doing the job or the bare minimum and all that kind of stuff. That's kind of what we're seeing right now around the NFL. And I don't blame guys like a DeAndre Hopkins or a Devontae Adams or somebody like that who is a really good player on a really bad team. They don't see this thing going anywhere. They now have to think about themselves and their career, because at 32 years old, DeAndre Hopkins doesn't have many days left in the NFL. Neither does Devontae Adams at 31 or whatever he is. You don't have many days left in this league when you get to that age. And so you want to go and have an opportunity to have some success towards the end of your career. And look, that's where Devontae Adams is. That's where DeAndre Hopkins is at this point in time. DeAndre Hopkins doesn't have a contract at the end of this season, so he's playing for his future. But also, he could say, you know what, if I win a Super Bowl in Kansas City, maybe I'm done. I played, 11, 12 years now in this league. And so he gets an opportunity to do the ring chase with a team that's going for a three-peat, gets put into a really good situation. And again, if you work for a company and they're telling you to do job A, but they're not giving you any resources to do that job, it makes your job that much harder. DeAndre Hopkins and Devontae Adams, for that matter, both weren't having resources given to them at the quarterback position. Mm-hmm. And when you're a wide receiver, you can only do so much when you don't have a good quarterback. And they're both looking around going, my career is being snuffed out right now because I got Will Levis or I got Desmond Ridder or I've got Gardner Cashew or whoever the case may be at the quarterback position. I'm not getting a fair opportunity to be the player that I am because I'm so reliant on that dip poop behind center that can't throw a football. And so I don't blame these guys for doing that. They're taking control of their own careers, and we just don't see that enough in sports. You don't have that opportunity. So when you do have that opportunity, you take advantage of it. And the best part of that whole video, there's two really good parts of that whole video with the family dancing, Hopkins family. Number one is they all had the retro jersey on, that the Houston Oilers jerseys that looked just absolutely spectacular. And number two, underneath the video, the caption that he put was, "Rumor has it."
The Adele song?
Yes, exactly. Rumor has it. And so right then and there, you knew that DeAndre Hopkins was becoming a Kansas City Chief and he was ready to go. It was all about just kind of working out the finality of that deal. And everybody's in a good mood now because he's here in Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean, I just, listening to those guys from Nashville and kind of piecing everything together and what is the situation in the NFL, I think it's just one of those things of you move on and new face, new place can always have an uptick in production.
Yeah.
And I think when you look at this from a standpoint of Patrick Mahomes and DeAndre Hopkins, will it take a few weeks? Probably. I think he's going to practice today.
There's going to be a lot of meetings that are taking place with DeAndre Hopkins and Matt Nagy and Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes over these next 3 days to get him as up to speed as you possibly can. But sometimes I think we make a bigger deal than it is. Here's 10 plays. Go run these plays. We'll figure it out.
And
later.
I think that's the part that I was talking to some buddies about last night, because they were like, how long is it going to take to learn that playbook? I'm like, here's the thing.
Alex Smith didn't know it in year three.
Right. Well, here's the thing about it as well. When you're a veteran guy, Andy Reid's plays can be intense, but they all start from the same concept. And if DeAndre Hopkins is the Y, or I guess he might be
an X.
The X. So it'll just be hey, you're running this play. It's essentially this route, but it's in a zone coverage. And you got the toughest part, I think, for someone like DeAndre Hopkins to learn is just the Mahomes mechanics. Hey, that's where you get in Travis Kelce's brain. You're like, hey, so how do you know when he's going to start? It's like, you'll know it. It's like,
but it's one of those things that you can't explain. If you went to Travis Kelce and said, explain this to me, because Travis has said it. He goes, Mahomes knows where I'm going to be before I know where I'm going to be. It's really weird that they have that synergy. And so you just have to go out there and play and see what happens. I think the number one thing for DeAndre Hopkins, as we, start to progress towards what we think he can do, never quit on a play. That's the number one thing that you need to know when you're on this team and you're a wide receiver, you're a player. playmaker never quit on the play. The play is never over until the whistle blows and the referee puts the ball down and gets it ready for the next play, because that's the way Patrick Mahomes operates. So you have to constantly be working on every single play. If he does that, he'll be fine here in Kansas City. It's the guys who stop their routes and whatnot because they think the play is over that Patrick Mahomes doesn't have the time of day for.
And I think that's the toughest thing to learn, is just the chemistry. Once you learn your chemistry with your quarterback, it's not necessarily, hey, can you run a, you know, flat stick 47 J route, you know, whatever. It's not that you need to learn that. You need to learn cadence, and you need to learn where your quarterback's going to be at certain situations. And once you do that, like, that's why I think Kelce looks so much better than a lot of people give him credit for, because he knows the rhythmic motions of Patrick Mahomes. He knows when a play is busted right away. He knows like, we heard the, what was it last year that he was talking about, the touchdown in the end zone, he's supposed to stop and he kept going, or he's supposed to keep going and he stopped.
Yes.
And he's like, Mahomes like, yeah, Travis ran the wrong play, but, you know, I scored a touchdown.
Right.
And you're like, okay, so, like, they get each other. Now, that's something you can't teach. That's something they've developed.
That's husband and wife type stuff, man, like, you know,
and that's just what that is. But as soon as DeAndre can kind of figure out those things, DeAndre Hopkins, that is, I'm not a first name guy, I don't know why I just did it, I apologize. But, like, as soon as Hopkins understands, like, where he needs to be in certain situations that do cause that, which won't take long because he's a veteran. He's probably watched Mahomes play since he hasn't played playoff football in a really long time.
Right, since 2019.
Right, God. So.
Well, and this is also a guy who got 700 yards in 9 games with Colt McCoy. He got 1,000 yards with Malik Willis that hurt Ryan Tannehill and Will Levis. Like, this is a guy who can do it with anything. He's been in 6 different offenses.
But again, Mac, that's great information. But as we know from Mike Greenberg, we live in the moment of the NFL, and he had -2 yards receiving on Sunday. So that's who he
is. My bad.
As a player. But no, those are the right points, because somebody said to me yesterday, goes, well, his numbers, I go, Will Levis is playing quarterback. Stop.
No.
Just stop living in the moment. But that's the NFL in a nutshell, where people become these prisoners of the moment. And, like, tonight, there's a Thursday night game, the Rams and Minnesota. There are going to be wild-ass takes about Minnesota and the Rams tomorrow morning. If the Rams win this game, Minnesota's no good. They've been a fraud for the first 5
100%.
Weeks. Right? Okay. The Rams are back. They've got a shot to win the division. Because everybody on TV at ESPN becomes a prisoner of the moment for whatever reason, and they forget about the reality that's going on. Now, does a loss tonight hurt Minnesota? You bet. You bet a loss hurts Minnesota tonight, because Detroit is playing so well right now. But people will have these prisoner of the moment takes, and I think that's where people were with DeAndre Hopkins. And my daughter, who's the fantasy football queen of her school at California Trail right now, leading that thing, she said to me, she goes, those numbers aren't real good. She's a 13-year-old girl who probably never knew who DeAndre Hopkins was until yesterday, right? And she's looking at it, she doesn't know who Will Levis is or any of these folks,
telling you that.
Yeah, right? But she's committed to winning, you know? And she's like, his numbers haven't been really good. I go, he's got a bad quarterback. He's playing with Patrick Mahomes now. Go grab him on your roster and whatnot. But again, she's 13. I would expect adults that are on television that are talking about the NFL to have an understanding of the league. And the more that I watch, I realize how dumb these people are on national television. They're all idiots.
I mean, the Jets play the Patriots this week. If they score 40, get ready.
Oh, get ready. Aaron Rodgers is back. Aaron Rodgers dominates. Aaron Rodgers is great. Oh, look at this. It's fantastic. They're 3-5.
But his hamstring hurts.
You beat the Patriots, man. Like, you're 3-5. Yay. Let's have a parade. Excuse me.
It's okay. It is kind of crazy. The World Series will finally start on Friday. Do people still know we're playing baseball?
I know, right? Like, and I was thinking about this yesterday, too. I'm like, why don't we start this? But again, if the NLCS and ALCS went game 7.
If it did not.
But the networks dictate everything, dude.
They got to fix that. Because, I mean, here's the thing. Baseball's lost all juice. I mean, you've seen three trades. I mean, there's been more. Mari Cooper goes to Buffalo. Devontae Adams goes to the Jets. DeAndre Hopkins goes to Kansas City. And not one person. I watched Colin Cowherd's show yesterday, like I do every day when I get home at 11. He literally did a 3-minute topic in L.A. is where his show is, and they're playing in the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things he talked about was the Shohei Ohtani baseball going for $4.3 million. Where I bring this up is, are people not caring as much in the Midwest, and I'm just, you know, fear of missing out or FOMO of the World Series, or is it because it's two of the most hated teams in baseball? Because the most hated team in football is the Kansas City Chiefs.
No doubt. We are the New York Yankees of football.
Right. And every fan base, like we've seen in this, that doesn't want to watch the World Series is because they don't like the Yankees or your team's in the National League and you don't like the Dodgers.
Right.
They are the mirror image of each other of the two leagues.
Which means it's going to be a pretty good World Series, I think.
I don't care. Like, I literally will not make a bet on the World Series. I will not watch the World Series, like, to a T. Like, Friday night.
You aren't making a wager.
Not on the World Series.
Wow.
Are you?
No, probably not. I'm just surprised from Dusty. Right.
No.
I mean, he lives in Missouri. They're not allowed to do that stuff over there. Okay.
I will. I mean, NBA will have more attention for me.
That's fair.
High school football will have more attention for me. Saturday college football will have more attention for me. I mean, literally, I won't watch the game Saturday because I'll be seeing Alan Jackson at the T-Mobile Center. Can't wait for that.
Yeah.
Chasing that neon rainbow on Saturday night.
Honky Tonk Blues, right?
That's right. Nice. Can't wait. Midnight in Montgomery. Greatest country song of his of all time. Or Drive for Daddy Gene. Either way, the Chiefs are the Yankees. But the thing that's interesting is that the NFL is interesting because every year you tell yourself, somebody might have a chance. They don't. But somebody might have a chance. Is it Baltimore? Is it Houston? Can Buffalo do it? Is Cincinnati going to make it? In baseball, with the Yankees and the Dodgers, you're like, yeah, the Dodgers seem to be in the World Series every year. And then last year, you're like, oh, it's Texas and Arizona.
Yeah, but they're not. You know?
And it's like, cool. It's Texas and Arizona. I don't care. Now it's LA and New York, and you're still like, yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, because baseball is such a provincial sport, and most sports are provincial sports. I was talking to somebody the other day about this.
When was the last game played?
Sunday night.
NLCS?
Yeah, the NLCS game six was Sunday night. So you went a whole week, and baseball kind of died on the vine.
5 days?
Yeah, it's a long time. It really is. Like, and look, I'm a defender of baseball. I love the sport. But, I mean, yeah, I do think they're doing it wrong by having this layoff. But, again, the network's dictate. It's already set in stone. This is what they're going to do. They don't want to compete with the NFL if they don't have to, and they're setting themselves up for not competing with the NFL, which is smart not to compete with the NFL, because also the networks that are televising this, Fox, well, they don't want to give up any NFL inventory for the World Series, and so they, you know, they push it off to Friday and Saturday, and so you had this lull right now, but baseball is actually more winnable for other teams than it is in the NFL. The NFL is dominated by the Chiefs and the 49ers. I mean, look at the last couple of Super Bowls, Chiefs and 49ers. Like, people think that's baseball, but the problem is baseball doesn't know how to sell hope like football does. Football sells hope better than anything else on planet Earth. Mm. And every fan base wakes up on March 17th when the league year starts thinking they have a chance. Free agency is going to be good. We got the draft coming up. Hope. And then opening day happens and you realize you're not a good team. But leading up to that, the NFL sells hope better than anybody else. If baseball knew how to sell hope, I think we'd have a situation where more people were baseball fans, because baseball really is more wide open than the NFL. People complain about the Yankees. They haven't won a world championship in 15 years. They haven't even been to the World Series in 15 years. So they don't dominate like everybody thinks they do. The Dodgers have won world championships since 1988.
In the bubble.
And it's a bubble championship. They don't even have a real championship right now. And you mentioned Texas and Arizona last year in the World Series. Hell, the Royals have been the two world championships in the last 10 years. Baseball is more wide open, but they don't understand how to sell that. The NFL, my God, they make you believe that whether you're the Carolina Panthers or the Kansas City Chiefs, you got a chance this year, baby.
Well,
and baseball doesn't know how to do that.
I guess the thing that I could say is that it's the obvious. Baseball is dominated, and you do not have a chance in the regular season. The problem is wild card teams win because there's a best of series.
Right.
There's a best of three. And to be fair, I know they don't do it every year, but seemingly the Yankees or Boston or LA or San Diego or teams like that, Atlanta, they win the regular season.
Right.
They don't win in the playoffs. Whereas the NFL, it's a one and done. Where somebody, and what do we always say? It's a cliche, any given Sunday.
Right.
Somebody can have a day on a random wild card playoff weekend where, oh my gosh, Josh Allen lost to, you know, I don't know, Will Levis in a wild card game because it just so happened that Josh Allen, who doesn't throw a pick all season, by the way, he doesn't have any interceptions this year, which is insane, throws four and Will Levis throws one touchdown, but they end up winning because of a fluke way. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, baseball, it's like, yeah, technically, there's a team that can win two games out of three, and they beat you.
Right.
but it is still dominated by those teams. And I think baseball would be fixed because the one thing that makes the NFL better and more entertaining and give people more of a chance that you say that doesn't is the fact there's a salary cap.
Well, there is.
And that's why the NFL is so great, because there is that battle. That is why Brett Veach is so valuable to the Chiefs. Scott Pioli couldn't manage a checkbook, which ruined this franchise.
John Dorsey couldn't either.
I'm sorry, it's Dorsey.
Yeah, Dorsey.
Dorsey couldn't do it. And that's why they lost. Like, they just went down the hill because it's like, well, we can't afford this guy, so we got to let him go. Oh, this other team got him. Now they're great. And in baseball, it's like the Yankees roster is $385 million. The Royals is $100 million. It's like where I went to middle school at Hall McCarter. You don't know where there is, but we were a small school that didn't have a lot of kids that went there. When we played other schools like Brittany Hill, Delta Woods, Moreland Ridge, they had 65 kids to choose 12 for their basketball team, whereas Hall McCarter had 20 and about 7 of them could actually play basketball. The Yankees can just go pay whoever they want, Stanton, Judge, Rizzo, Jazz Chisholm, who's not great, but they can go get
him. They can go get him.
Whereas the Royals, when they make their moves, they have to pan out.
And like, they do, yes.
Lugo had to be great. Right. Reagan's had to stay healthy.
And that's why you're looking forward to next season. You're like, can they get back there? Whereas you had a lot of career years for a lot of guys that if you're counting on Lugo and Walken and all these guys to have career years again, you're selling hope. I understand that, but you better have a backup plan.
Whereas like in the NFL, it's like, yeah, you can lose guys like, you know, Hollywood Brown and Rashee Rice, but you have Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and you've built your offensive line because you used your money wisely.
Right. You can do that in baseball, though. But in baseball, you just have to be able to look at like Baltimore. I know hasn't won yet, but they've got that core. They supplemented. That's where the Royals are right now. You've got Salvi, you've got Bobby, you've got Vinny as your core, and you've supplemented that core.
Yeah.
And so you have to continue to supplement that core and change over. And, you know, Lugo and Waka were great last year, but there's no guarantees that those guys are going to be any good next season. So what is your backup plan? I do think the biggest thing, though, with baseball and the NFL is not necessarily, to me, the salary cap. It's the salary floor. You have to force these teams to spend a certain amount of money, because if you don't, then you're going to have teams like the Oakland A's or the Tampa Bay Rays or teams of that nature that just never spend enough to put a real major league ball club on the field. And that's, I think, where the NFL wins, because everybody talks about the salary cap, but there's also a salary floor in the NFL. You have to meet that certain level.
Yeah.
Baseball doesn't have that salary floor, and it allows for a third of the teams just not to care and to not spend.
Well, why would you?
Right, exactly.
Right, why would you? Because look who's in the World Series, and look who makes the playoffs every year. Yankees, Braves, Dodgers, Padres, Red Sox, they all every year.
Yeah.
Well, it just sucks.
But
they play 162 games.
I know, but which is too many.
Yeah.
But I'm glad they expanded the wild card, keeps people alive. But baseball really does need to implement a salary floor. I'm not concerned about the salary cap. We need more of these teams spending money at the bottom level to get up to a certain level. And that will help talent dissipate throughout Major League Baseball, because now all of a sudden you wake up and you're Oakland, you go, we got to spend $90 million this offseason on our roster. We got to go out and sign guys, and guys will make a boatload of cash, and some guys will make money because of the salary floor. And for whatever reason, Major League Baseball will never have a salary cap or a salary floor. And so we can sit here and complain about it all we want. They're never going to do it. They look at their national ratings. They're up 37% in the playoffs. It's a pretty big win for baseball.